The humanitarian crisis in Gaza may be entering a new phase. The World Food Program is suspending aid deliveries to northern Gaza, citing dangerous conditions. More than 300,000 Palestinians there depend on the food and supplies. And in the south, the city of Rafah has swelled fourfold as displaced families have fled there. Gaza's health ministry reports nearly 30,000 people have been killed by Israeli attacks. More than 12,000 killed are children. That's according to Save the Children, a nonprofit that is active in Gaza. Yante Sirypto leads the organization, and she joins us now. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
You have said you didn't think the situation could get worse than it's been over the last months, but it is. Worse how?
I fervently thought and hoped, perhaps, that it couldn't get any worse last month, and clearly it has. What's worse, we are seeing now, as you said in your intro, 1.3, 1.4 million people huddled in Rafah, which really is the last sort of stance in Gaza. After this, there is really nowhere else to go. They're in a place that's, 60 square kilometers. You can imagine there are people everywhere, on the road, on the street, huddled under shelters, sometimes, you know, just a piece of tarp. We're still not getting enough aid in. The number of trucks that made it into Rafah actually fell over the past couple of weeks compared to what it was before, and even that was not nearly enough. We're seeing, of course, a population that has been completely traumatized, have lost all resilience, and we are incredibly concerned about the massive numbers of people being food insecure or on the brink of famine that we've seen coming out over the past weeks. And this is with a population that before October did not have any real huge issues around food insecurity or malnutrition.
And I want to ask a little bit more about the food, the acute shortage. The World Health Organization says 1 in 6 children under 2 are actively malnourished. Now, famine, you know, for some of the aid organizations is a technical definition, but this extreme hunger, what does it look like?
It is what you will see is children who literally stop crying because they are too weak to be able to do that. They are much more susceptible to mortality because of hunger. They have less reserves. They have fewer reserves to rely on, and it can go really quickly. A baby, an infant, can be sort of okay one day, and a couple of days, weeks later, they could be on the brink of dying. And we know how to treat malnutrition. It's a relatively easy, straightforward treatment. Yeah. So it is particularly galling that we're not able to get that treatment to children who need it so badly.
And given this reality today, one of your group's fears going forward is an Israeli military incursion into Rafah, which Israeli leaders are actively planning for. How might that make things worse for children?
Yeah, then we're really getting to completely catastrophic levels. And I know I've said this before, my colleagues have said this before, so we are really running out of superlatives to describe how bad this is. 1.4 million people huddled, over 600,000 children, already 13,000 children or more have died. 1,000 kids have lost a limb or more. Thousands of children without parents and who've lost, you know, numbers of their family. So to have a military incursion in a very densely populated area like that, we don't see how that will not result in mass casualties. And we haven't seen any credible plan from the government of Israel to even remotely mitigate that risk. Nor do we think it is possible to mass evacuate 1.4 million people.
Nowhere to go?
Yeah, nowhere to go. Yeah. Nowhere to go. They can't go all the way back up north because, as you've said earlier, yes, there are still 200,000 people there. A lot of the supplies that we were sending up to the north have actually been turned back. So the situation is worse there in terms of famine, lack of clean water, etc. And there are lots of unexploded ordnances around there as well. So it is really not a safe place to go back up to.
Can I ask briefly about mental health? Save the Children cites 4 in 5 children living with depression and fear and grief, 3 out of 5 self-harming. This is according to reporting by caregivers. I imagine the reasons, the contributing factors, they go back years. This goes long before October 7, yeah?
Yes, of course. It certainly wasn't easy in Gaza before October 7th. But I would say when I speak to my colleagues, we still have 23 colleagues there, Palestinian colleagues there, and we have some international staff. Our local colleagues are telling us that even in their own children now, they see real symptoms of the trauma they've experienced over these last 140-odd days, from bedwetting to self-harming, a really concerning, to some extent invisible, symptom of the situation. Mm.
And just before we let you go then, how do we think about what a child trapped in Rafah is doing today? We can't assume there's any normalcy, I guess, or school.
No, there is no normalcy at all. There is no school. And of course, we would love to be able to run child-friendly spaces where there is a level of education, where there is some mental health and psychosocial support for kids. At the moment, that's completely unsafe to do. Our staff are happy if they can go out and do some level of basic item distribution, clean water, food, blankets, cash to families, if there is an opportunity to get some commercial supplies in. But that is the extent of the response at this point in time. Medical supplies to hospitals, if we can. Those are really the basic items. School, mental health, psychosocial support, it's seen as almost as a luxury at this point in time. Mm. I mean, my team is telling me, when they talk to our colleagues there, but also people in Rafah, they are saying they are expecting to die in Rafah if the situation doesn't change.
Mm. Your team members?
Yes.
My goodness. Wow.
Yeah, that's what they're telling us.
We've been talking to Yanti Sarepto, president of Save the Children. Yanti, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you for having us, Scott.